Alright, morning. Today's daf from Bava Kamma is Lamed Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lamed Zechon and Shmas Liba Gavriela Bashmuel. We are today starting on Lamed Amid Beis, and we're finishing up from our compost discussion yesterday. So a person wants to make compost, so what does he do? He takes his straw, another organic material, and he throws it out. Problem is, he throws it onto the Rishus HaRabim, and people are walking over there. And so it's going to be problematic because he's creating a damage, a hazard, in the Rishus HaRabim. So it's a board Rishus HaRabim, and so the Mishnah taught us, so going back to Lamed Amid Aleph, if you take a look back at the Mishnah, so the Mishnah says that if Hamotzi is Tifna v'kashel Rishus HaRabim, lezvalim v'huzik b'amachir chayev b'nizka. So first of all, you are going to be liable for any damage caused by your compost that you're creating. And then v'cholakot b'amzachar, and then the Mishnah makes another comment, which is that the Chachamim were so upset with you, so angry with you, that you left out a hazard in the Rishus HaRabim. You know what? Someone else wants to pick it up and take it. God bless him. He may do so. So the Mishnah teaches us a chiddush that there is a kenas, there was a fine that was imposed upon you of kolakodem emzachabahem, that anyone who wants to take it may take it. Now, on this Mishnah and on this particular halacha, so there was a machlokas on Marayim. We had two opinions that we saw on the top of Lamed Amid Beis, Rav and Ziri. Rav is of the opinion that bein begufam bein bishvachem, meaning when you leave the organic material in front of your house to make compost, so what's going to happen is it's going to grow and it's going to increase. Meaning it's, I don't understand the dynamics of it, as I mentioned yesterday, but just assuming that that it's going to grow, it's going to increase, it's going to improve. The compost is only going to get better. And so Rav's of the opinion that the Chachamim were so unhappy with you that they allow other people to take it, and not only to take any of the shvach, any of the growth and increase, but even the keren, even the principle. Meaning that which you left out, the Chachamim said what you did was no good. Consequently, someone else wants to pick it up and take it for themselves, they may do so. That's Rav's opinion. Ziri said no. Ziri said that the only thing that the Chachamim allowed you to do is only to take the shevach. Now again, I'm going to assume, just simply because the Gemara is, that it's very clear demarcating what exactly is a Shevach, what exactly is a Keren.
How did the pedestrian figure out what
I don't know. Meaning, I don't have a good visualization of what we're talking about over here, but I do understand the principle. The principle is, as Ziri is saying, is that, look, the Chachamim were upset with what you did, so, and of course you're going to be liable for any damage that it causes, and you know what? Any growth that comes about from it, any profit that comes out of it, so that you cannot profit from it. Somebody else wants to take it, they may do so. But the Karen, but the principle, that's yours. And granted, you left it out as it has the Bereshus HaRabim, but ultimately it's yours, and therefore no one else is allowed to take it. So this is a machlokes between Rav and Ziri in terms of whether or not the Knas is going on both, the principle and the growth, or the Knas is only going on the principle. Okay. This is what we saw so far. Ibai Lahu. Okay, fine. Ibai Lahu. I think that's where we left off yesterday. Okay. You know what? Let's start from the top of the Amud. I'm not sure if we got this far. And anyway, it's all one long sugya. Okay, so let's start on the very top of Lamed Amid Beis. So to begin again, so according to Rav, whether it's the principal or whether it's the shvach, you're allowed to take it. Meaning, someone in the street who sees a compost in the street, so he's allowed to take it, both the original and the growth. Ziri amar b'shvachan v'lo begufan, and Ziri is of the opinion that no, you're only allowed to take the shvach, but you're not allowed to take the principal. So the Gemara here gives a very straightforward explanation of what the machlokas is based on, and that is, according to Rav, the kenas that was imposed is, since the kenas is going on the shevach, the kenas is also going on the guf as well. Now Ziri says, yes, there's a kenas, but the kenas is only going on the shevach, only on the increase, not on the original. Tanan. With the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you leave out manure. So other words, not compost, straightforward manure. You leave it out in the Rishus Rabim. So again, anyone who slips and falls and damages themselves, you're going to have to burden the liability for doing so. That's your board, Rishus Rabim. Notice that when the Mishnah described the case of the manure, the Mishnah made no such comment that anyone who is allowed to take the manure is entitled to. So how come? So Tana L'Reishavu Adin L'Seifa. Now, I'm sorry, before we go on, so this becomes a problem. Why? Because when it comes to manure, there's no Shevach. Meaning manure is just what it is. It is. And therefore, there's no Shevach. So now, this works out very good for Ze'iri. Because Ze'iri says that Kenas is only going on the Shevach, but Kenas is not going on the principle. So this part of the Mishnah works out excellent for Ze'iri. But it doesn't work out that well for Rav. Because according to Rav, where the Kenas is on the Shevach and on the Guf. So over here, according to Rav, why isn't there also a Kenas here as well? Meaning the Guf HaDavar, the manure itself, there should be a Kenas. So the Gemara says, Tana L'Reishav V'Wodin L'Seifa. So the Gemara suggests, well, you know, in the case of the compost, the Mishnah already mentions a Kenas, so Hu Adin. Same thing's true over here by the manure. There's a Kenas as well. So the Gemara says, V'Hat Tani Allah, Surah Mishim Gezel. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Braisa says that you're not allowed to take the manure. No, nobody else is allowed to take the manure. So Kiketani Asura Mishim Gezel. Akula Masusi. I'm sorry. Kiketani Asura Mishim Gezel Akula Masisakai. La Oso Shekarim Vizacha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what was meant by the Braisa is for the one who takes it, no one's allowed to take it out of his hands because he was entitled to take it. The Gemara says, Halo Kitani Hachi, did not know. Motzi Tifna Vikasho, Lirishus Rabbin, Lizvalim Vahuzak Behemacher, Chai Benizko, Vacholokodim Behem Zacha. So the Gemara is going to quote another Braisa. This Braisa starts off by saying, compost, fine. Somebody else is allowed to pick up the compost and take it. Umotimishim Gezel, Vahofechazagal, Lirishus Rabbin, Vahuzak Behemacher, Chayav, Vahasimishim Gezel. However, when it comes to manure, no one is allowed to take the manure. So, it's pretty clear after having gone through the braisa that there's a distinction between compost and manure. Compost, people allowed to take. Manure, people not allowed to take. So, if you're Ze'iri, I totally understand the distinction. Because Ze'iri says that the only thing you're allowed to take with the compost is only the shevach, only any additional benefit. But the goof, the principle, you're not allowed to take. And the same thing is true regarding the manure. So, if you're Ze'iri, you're good. Everything's very clear. But if you're Rav, it's not good. Because Rav says that you're allowed to take the compost, both the Shevach and the Guf. So why aren't you allowed to take the manure? Someone leaves manure as it has in the Rishus HaRabim. Should be no different. I'm Rav Nachman. By Yitzchak Gala Karamis, Davashesh Bo Shevach Kansu, Gufo Mishim Shvacho, Davashem Bo Shevach Lo Kansu. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, look, I think even if you're Rav, it can be understood in the following manner. When it comes to compost, you leave it out, it's going to grow. And there's going to be Shevach. And so the Chachamim said to you, very unhappy with what you did, we're going to impose a Kenas on the Shevach, and while we're at it, we're also going to impose a Kenas on the Guf as well. In other words, but basically, the origination of the Kenas is on the Shevach, and it kind of just spreads out into the Guf. However, when it comes to the manure, there's no Shevach. So if there's no Shevach, there's no starting point for the Kenas, and therefore you're going to be, there's just simply not going to be a Kenas on the manure. The Gemara says, that's how you understand the distinction of compost versus manure, even if you are Rav. So the Gemara asks an excellent question. If you're Rav, and if you are of the belief that there's a Kenas both on the Shevach and on the Guf, and as we just got done saying, the Kenas starts with the Shevach and it spreads into the Guf. So question, really good question. So you leave compost out in front of your house. It's going to improve. There's going to be Shevach, but right now, not yet. Is somebody else allowed now to take it? Meaning because we don't have the Shevach yet. So we know once there's a Shevach, there's going to be a Kenas on the Shevach. So can we prognosticate and say that since we know there is going to be Shevach, and we know there is going to be Kenas, so therefore can you take it right now? If I may, basically the question the Gemara is, can we forecast a Kenas? That's really an interesting question. So the Gemara says, so Mishum Shvach Altar Kansinan, oh, Lechim I see Shevach Kansinan, Tashma. So the Gemara says, well, I think I know the answer. Why? Me de Ka'irinan galal. So the Gemara says, well, remember how what we did is that we looked at the Mishnah, made the comparison between the manure and the and the zevel and the compost. So the Gemara says, so what do you see? Once we made the comparison, so and we know by the manure there is no additional additional shevach, meaning the manure just simply is. And for a little bit of time, although we corrected ourselves in terms of our thinking, for a little bit of time we thought that the cases were equatable. And so we know by the manure there's no shevach, and yet you're allowed to take it. Again, that's what we thought, although we know that's not true. And we know you're allowed to take it. So the same thing is true regarding the compost. So the Gemara says, "V'tizbara ki Irene and Galal mikami delishne Rav Nachman labasa deshani Rav Nachman mi ikali idlimidme Galal klal." The Gemara says, "Okay, but remember, we thought that they were comparable, but as Rav Nachman Yitzchak pointed out, they're not comparable. Fundamental difference: manure doesn't have shevach. Therefore, according to Rav, you're not allowed to, another person's not allowed to take the manure." The compost does have shevach. So the Gemara points out that they are not comparable, even though for a moment we thought they were. And so therefore, question is unresolved. So are we allowed to forecast a knas derabanan? In other words, the compost was left out. There's no shevach yet. We know there's going to be shevach. Once there is shevach, therefore, another person's allowed to take it. And not only the shevach, but the guf itself. So at the early stage, before shevach, can somebody else take it? The question does not. The question is asked, and the question remains unresolved. Lema Kitanai. Gemara now tries to take this debate between Rav and Zairi and create a parallelism between this case and a totally different case, but conceptually exactly the same. Or seemingly, kitzanai. Shar shekasev bo ribis. So konsen osova eno go velos akerim velos ribis. Divrei Rabbi Meir chachamim omrim go vesakerim avalo es ha ribis. Okay, I give a loan to another Jew and I lend him $100, and we stipulate, not only stipulate, we write in the contract that when I come and collect, I'll come and collect $200. That's called an isser in the Torah. That's charging another Jew with interest. So you are not allowed to do that. Okay, so I did it. Okay, so when I go over to him and I say, look, okay, I thought more about it and I realized I'm gonna reform myself. And I'm not going to charge interest. In fact, I'm not going to even charge interest on this very loan. So the question over here is a very simple question. Can I come and collect the principal with this document? Meaning, I'm not going to collect the interest. What I did was wrong. So I'm not going to collect it. But can I use this very same shtar in order to collect the principal? Machlokis tanayim. Rav Meir is of the opinion that no and no. No, I cannot come and collect the interest. And no, I can't even come and collect the principal. And the Chachamim say, no, we'll make a distinction. The interest itself I'm not going to collect. But the principal of the loan, I'm totally entitled to, and therefore I can collect. So this is the Machlokes Tanayim. So now, fascinating, the Gemara now is going to try to parallel this Machlokes to the same Machlokes of Rav and Zairi. So Lema, Rav, Damak, Rav, Meir, Zairi, Damak, Rabbanan. And so now, we know the Chachamim were so upset with you for writing a shtar beribis, a loan document with interest. And so therefore the Chachamim were kones. Are they kones the shevach and the principal? Or are they just kones the shevach? This now seemingly is the machlokas atanayim, and now it would line up where Rav Meir says the knas is going on both. Rav Meir Shita is going to line up with Rav, and the Chachamim say no, the knas is only going on the interest, but not on the principal. And the Chachamim's position would line up with Zairi. Now you know, time and again, whenever the Gemara makes an attempt to do this, the Amoraim are going to try to sidestep the issue of whether or not their position is limited to only one Tana. So the Gemara says, Amalcha Rav Anu Dami Afilu Rabbanan. So Rav says, don't do that to me. Don't pigeonhole me to the position of a mayor. I can even go like the Chachamim. How so? Because Ad Kan Lo Kamin Rabban Hasam Ella Karen Debe Teira Aval Hacha Karen Gufa Kamazik. So he says, let's take a look at a basic distinction. In the case of the loan document, I'm allowed to lend and I'm allowed to get paid back on the principal. So on the principal, there was no avera that was done. the Avera was specific to the interest. So therefore, in that case, a Chachamim will say, I can't collect the interest. But the principal, there was no problem with lending and getting paid back on the principal. So therefore, that's a Chachamim. Here, however, you deposited a hazard in the Rishos HaRabim. From ground zero, from step one, you were in the wrong. So therefore, over here, the Knas is going to go both on the Shevach and on the Guf. Because the Guf itself, you did an Avera, in that you left down the Rishos HaRabim. That is how Rav can take his position and fit into the Chachamim. And Ziri could do the same. Ziri Amalchana Darmi Afilu Rameir. And Ziri says, look, don't limit me to the Chachamim. I would agree with Rameir. Rameir would agree with me. Because Adkan lo kama Rameir Asamela Demishas Ksiva de Avale Shuma. You see, over there, at the time when you wrote the loan document, so the Gemara describes it as being some sort of appraisal. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is that you were demanding at that point in time, obviously the loan's not due, but still, you were laying the seed for a demand of $200. Meaning, so, we're arguing in the opposite direction right now, but we're saying that with the loan, at the point of origination, it was all bad. The principal and the interest. Because the whole thing is basically lumped together. Avahacha mi yemer demazik. But over here, I understand that you shouldn't have put out the hazard in the Rishos HaRabim. But did anyone get damaged yet? Meaning, yes, there's a good chance that someone's going to get damaged. But no one yet has been damaged. And so therefore, Ziri says, maybe Rameir would agree with me on my position over here. Just that I'll throw this out very quickly. I strongly encourage the fourth Tosus on the Amud asks really a wonderful question. It sounds like from our Gemara over here, meaning let's assume like the Chachamim. All right, I read a loan document with interest, so I can use a loan document in order to collect the principal, but not the interest. That's the Shitas Chachamim, and let's assume that's how we follow. So Tosus says, I'm going to ask it's really a simple question. You had two witnesses signing on the loan document. It was a loan document with interest. What do we say about the witnesses? They are no good. Meaning, we know that anyone who participates in a loan with interest is violating Isser in the Torah. The lender, the borrower, the witnesses who are signing on it. If there's a guarantor, he's also. Everyone is violating an Isser Daraisa. So if you are in process of violating an Isser Daraisa, you're pasul le'edus. So Tosus asks a wonderful question. So how can this loan document, according to the Chachamim, be used in order to collect the principal, when meanwhile the witnesses on this document are psulim la'edus?
It's only a kavara to be a
tester. That's Tosus's first answer. Okay, very good. Okay, excellent. Let's continue in the Gemara. I just encourage you to take a look at Tosos. Tosos has three different answers in terms of how to resolve this issue. Lema kehani tanai, the Gemara quotes the following machlokas tanai. Meaning, again, what we're going to try to do is take the machlokas between Rav and Ziri and plug it into an older machlokas amongst the Tanayim. Bryce goes like this: Hamotzi tifna v'kashla rishos harabim lizvalim. You leave out your straw, and in order for it to turn into compost. V'huzik b'ham acher chayv b'nisko. So you're liable for the damages. Okay, the Bryce is very familiar. It's basically repeating what we learned back in the Mishnah. But obviously there's a reason why we're quoting the Braisa. Stay tuned. And anyone else walking on the street sees a compost is entitled to take it. But meanwhile, you're not allowed to steal it. Now, right away, it's not rocket science. You realize that the Braisa, something's fishy with the Braisa. Because the Braisa first starts off saying, you want to take it, that's fine, but you can't steal it. So the Braisa obviously is confusing, and we're going to read through the rest of the Braisa, and then we're going to come back and we're going to try to understand this. Any hazard placed in the Rishos HaRabim, the person who left it there is liable for the damage that it causes. And anyone who wants to take them and pick them up for themselves is entitled to do so. Gazel, and there is no issue of gazel, meaning you could pick it up and you could take it. So now, ha gufa kasha. Now the Gemara says, Now you realize that there was a problem in the Tanakhama of this Brisa. The Gemara spells it out. First, the Brisa, the Tanakhama says, you, if somebody else wants to take it, that's fine. But don't steal it. And that's a problem. So Ella Lav Hachikama. So the pshat in the Tanakhama must go as follows. You're allowed to take the Shevach. That's what the Tanakhama meant. The Asur Mishum Gezel Agufan. The next line of the Tanakhama, but what you can't take is the principle. The Asur Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amemra Afilu Gufanami Kolakoda Mem Zacha. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, nah, someone who's walking through the street could take both the principle and the extra. Wonderful. So now that we have understood the machlokus, this machlokus now is hinging on exactly the machlokus between Rav and Zeiri. And again, you know the Amoraim don't want that. They don't want their position to be limited. Now, Zeiri Vadai Tanahi. Now, if you're Zeiri, you're pretty much stuck. Meaning, there really is no other way to look at this Brisa, and Zeiri will have to acknowledge that his opinion is subject to a Machlokas Tanahi. However, Lerav mi Lema Tanahi, but according to Rav, maybe not. Now remember, what was Rav's position? That there's a kenas both on the guf and on the shevach. Amalecha Rav de kule amakanta gufa mishum shvach vacha ba'alachem vein marin kein kamiflegi. According to Rav, look, principally, you're a mutar. Somebody walks along, sees the hazard in the street, sees the compost, is allowed to take both the shevach and the guf as well. And both Tanaim of this Brisa fundamentally agree with this point. But rather, what the issue is over here is as follows. Should you be broadcasting this information, and we find this a number of times in the Gemara, where sometimes there's a halacha, and even though, in principle, the halacha allows for a certain leniency, but this is just the kind of thing where we don't want to advertise. De itmar, and the Gemara is going to point out, and I'm sorry, and before we go on, so which who's taking which position? So Rashi over here spells it out. Rashi says, Tanakhama sever halacha de kansu gufan me'ein marin kain. According to the Tanakhama, he says, this is halacha, that you're allowed to take both the principal and the shevach, but let's not advertise it. And that's why the Tanakhama says, asur mishum gezel. Meaning, it's not really gzela, but let's just throw the word gezel out so that people won't help themselves to the compost, even though principally you're allowed, the person's allowed to. And Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion, no, people are allowed to, and this is something that should be advertised. And now the Gemara points out, this itself is also subject to this issue. Now that we've explained the Brisa this way, we're going to see Amoraim took sides on this very issue. Di itmar, second line from the bottom. On Laman Amid Beis. Rav Huna Amar Rav Halacha Vein Marin Kain. So according to Rav Huna Amar Rav, it's in fact a halacha that you are entitled, the person walking by the compost can take the principal and the shevach, but let's not advertise this halacha. So if you're in the daf, that's great. If you're listening to me now, that's great. You know you're allowed to, but the Rav in front of the shul shouldn't be advertising. And Rav Adabava Amar Halacha Umarin Kain. And according to Rav Adabah Bar Ahava, not only is this halacha, but you should broadcast this point. So the Gemara says, "Ini zistruva haRav Huna afker chushlei." The Gemara says, "Now we're going to have a couple stories. Rav Huna was mafker chushlei, meaning somebody left out the residue barley." He left it out in order to dry and turn to compost. And Rav Huna saw this, and Rav Huna went out to shul that Shabbos, and he said to everybody, "All right, ladies and gentlemen, all right, you can take it." In other words, the guy should not have left it out in front of his house in the Rishus Harabim. And so he not only did he accept this as a halacha, but he broadcast it. And Rav Acha ba'ava afker sili kusasa, top of Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph. And some residue of dates were left out in order to turn into compost. And Rav Adabava went out in shul and he told everybody, "Take it, it's yours." Now, Bishlam Rav Adabava Kishmaite. So the Gemara says, now Rav Adabava, perfect. Meaning, you see, perfect consistency. Because he, A, accepts a halacha like Rav, which is that you're allowed to take the principal and the shevach. B, he says that you're allowed to advertise it. This, you're allowed to broadcast this halacha. So good. So according to Rav Adabava, we're fine. But Rav Huna, however, is seemingly inconsistent. Because Rav Huna says, yes, the halacha is like Rav, but no, you shouldn't broadcast that. And meanwhile, an incident occurred in his community. Somebody was leaving compost out in front of the house, and Rav Huna was telling everybody, go ahead and take it. So what happened? Did Rav Huna reverse his position whether or not one is not allowed to broadcast, and now he's taking the position you should be broadcasting this information? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Hanu musrim havu. To which the Gemara says, this was an anecdotal incident, and these particular people who left it out were warned before. So in other words, they were repeat offenders. And so now Rav Huna had it with these people. So in general, he would not broadcast the halacha that you're allowed to simply go in front of somebody's house who left hazard out, and he would not broadcast the information that you're allowed to take it. But for these particular people who were seemingly incorrigible, so therefore he told the people, go ahead and take it. Okay. We're on the Mishnah Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, and these Mishnahs coming up are super enjoyable. They're going to basically be traffic accidents. Now, I know it's going to be really great because after going through the Mishnah and after going through the Gemara, we're going to basically try to take these and move them over to your standard traffic accidents. And it's not a terrible comparison, but in terms of the halacha, obviously, you know, God forbid if it happens, you'll consult and you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but it's just great because they are so easy to see, you know, in the daily driving that we do. So there were two people who were potters by trade, and they were walking in the Rishus Rabbim, one after the other. They were walking in the same direction, and Vinitaka Arishon Vinafa. So first one trips, falls, and Vinitaka Asheni Barishon. And the second guy was walking behind him, so he trips over the first guy, he falls. So Harishon Chayav Benizke Sheni, says the Mishnah, the first person is going to be responsible and liable for all the damage he caused to the second person. Okay, much to discuss over here. Much to discuss over here. Amar Rebbe Yochanan. So we start with the Gemara, and the Rav Yochanan starts with the following: Lo tema, Masis and Rabbi Meir here damar nitaka poshehu vechayev. Look, remember just a short couple days ago, we had a debate, and as Abaye explained it, machlokus tanayim, whether or not tripping is an ones or posheya. Okay, now Rav Meir takes the position that tripping is posheya. In other words, it's not just an accident; it's negligence. When you walk, especially walking in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you need to be careful. Every step you take needs to be a successful step. And if it was an unsuccessful step and you tripped, according to Rav Meir, you're negligent. And your negligence, therefore, is going to result in you being liable for any damage caused by your negligence. So that's Rav Meir's position. So Rav Yochanan is saying, look, when you see this Mishnah, the Mishnah is telling us that the first guy is liable for all financial damage that is caused by him tripping and falling. So your immediate reaction to this Mishnah is, oh, I know who the author of the Mishnah is. Author of the Mishnah is Rav Meir. Why? First guy tripped and fell. Tripping and falling is a pshia, it's a negligence, and therefore the first guy is going to be liable for all the damages. Rav Yochanan says, I know that's your initial reaction when seeing the Mishnah. But Rav Yochanan says, but you don't have to say that. What you could say is that our Mishnah subscribes to the position that tripping is an ones, and still we're going to find fault and liability with the first guy. Rav Yochanan explains. I'm Rav Yochanan. Lo tema masis from Rav Meir here. Damar nitaka poshehu v'chayev elafilu rabbanan. De amri anosu upater hachachayev. Here, even if you take the position that tripping is an ones, the first person is going to be liable. Why? Shahaya lo lamad v'lo amad. Because there was time, and this is the Ukimta in the Mishnah, there was time for the first guy to get up, and inexplicably, he doesn't get up. So now, on the not getting up, that's a negligence. The falling itself, okay, that's a trip. And let's assume that it's an ones. But for not getting up, on that now he's going to be held accountable/liable. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Afilo Tema Lo Hayelo La'amod. Now Rav Nachman Yitzchak is going to do the same thing, but he's actually going to go one step further than that of Rav Yochanan. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, let's assume that our Mishnah says that the tripping itself was not poshea. That's not negligent. That was an accident. That's onis. But what should the first guy have done to the second guy? So he should have given a warning. Hayalo lahazir velo hizir. So according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, failure of a warning now puts him in the liability. That puts him in the red. So now basically you have two ways to explain our Mishnah, even if the trip itself was an accident, but according to Rav Yochanan, if failure to get up makes you liable. According to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, even if you didn't have time to get up, but failure to warn the person behind you, that puts you in liability.
That's the definition of being an accident, that you wouldn't know what's going to be happening.
Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kevin Delohay Olamo, Lohay Olahazir, Detarid. And so Rabbi Yochanan, why doesn't he agree with Rav Nachman Yitzchak? So Rabbi Yochanan says, look, it's an unfair expectation. He tripped, he fell, someone was behind him. In other words, he's trying to collect himself, and you think it's a fair expectation for the first person to have to warn the second person behind him? Rabbi Yochanan says, I just don't think it's a fair expectation. And so that's why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Okay, Tanan. Let us go back to the Mishnah. Let's review the Mishnah. That's misspoken. Let us see a Mishnah coming up ahead of us. Hayah bal kor rishon bal chavis achron. Mishnah coming up is going to be describing a similar scenario where the person walking in the front is walking with a beam. The person walking behind is walking with a barrel. Okay, with some liquid in the barrel. Nishbar chavis bekora potter. Let's say the guy walking behind now decides that he's going to put in a new gear. Okay, he's right now in third gear and now he's walking. So the gears over here are just a cute way to describe it. And he now moves up to fourth gear, he moves up to fifth gear. And he rams into the guy in front of him. So then the chavis bekora potter. So the guy in the front is going to be exempt because the guy in the back is the one who accelerated. V'im amad balkora chayv. However, if the balkora, the guy walking with the beam, if he decides now is a good time to stop, right? It's like the origination of every accident on the highway. Now is a good time to stop. So now the guy in the beam says now is a good time to stop. So then he's going to be liable for the breaking of the barrel for the guy behind him. Now, that's the Mishnah. Now let's inject a little more context. So my love Shama Lakatev Dorchehu Viktani Chayev Dahavalei Lehazir. So the Gemara says, now why did he stop? So the Gemara says, let's assume, it's an assumption, let's assume that he stopped because he wanted to take the beam and just kind of move it maybe from one shoulder to another. In other words, it's just a break for adjustment. And the Gemara says, Orche, that's reasonable. You're carrying a heavy weight on your shoulder and you want to adjust, so you want to pause for just a moment to adjust, so that's normal. And yet, he's liable. Why? So the Gemara is now suggesting, if you're Rav Nachman Yitzchak, you understand. Because even though he stopped and it was a totally excusable stop, but still what he should be doing now is turning around and telling the guy behind him, here I am, and I stopped for a moment. And I have every right to do so, but warning. And the reason why he's liable is because he didn't issue that warning. So now if you're Rav Nachman Yitzchak, you understand this case very well. But what if you're Rav Yochanan? So the Gemara says, because remember, according to Rav Yochanan, the failure to warn does not make you liable. And so if the way we're describing this Mishnah is correct, it presents a problem to Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, lo, kashama lafush. So the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you why the person in the front was liable, because he did not take an acceptable stop. Acceptable stop is one for an adjustment. That's likatef. But over here, he stopped lafush. He stopped because he wanted a break, he wanted a little bit of rest. So again, you want to go off to the side of the road? A rest stop is a great place to rest. But you know what a not a great place to rest is? Right in the middle of the street. In other words, the Rishus HaRabim is expected traffic, expected movement. And therefore, if you're resting for resting, that is unlawful. That you don't have the right to do. And that's why it makes you liable. Ava amalakate if my potter. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, basically, according to Rav Yochanan, we could be talking about a pause and make a distinction in the pause itself. Meaning, Aditni seif avim amr labal chavis amod potter liflog v'lisne b'diday. You know, why didn't the mission do exactly that? Meaning, before moving on to a new scenario and describing a case of exemption, make a distinction in the rest stop. Ba'medvar marmorim kisham lafo shava amr lakatev potter, and say, according to Rav Yochanan, this is what the mission should be doing. And that is, if you're resting just for an adjustment, that's legitimate. Then the person with the beam is going to be exempt. If the rest is for rest, if he's stopping because he wants to rest, so that's not acceptable. And therefore he's going to be liable. And we can make a distinction in the stop itself. And so why would the Mishnah move on to another scenario? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, you're right, but the Mishnah wanted to communicate another idea to us, and that's the following. Let's say he was in the street, and he's walking, and he decides he's going to rest right in the middle of the street. Now, he shouldn't have done that, but he did it. But then he turned around and he said to the guy with the barrel behind him, slow down, I stopped. So even though the rest itself in the street is something he should not have done, but if he provided warning, so that will exempt him from liability. Tashma. The Gemara quotes another brisa. Hakadam v'azagag nishama hachim zachar zeh. So let's say you have people with barrels or glass, and they're walking in the same direction. Itakal risha v'nafa. So the case over here is going to be very similar to our Mishnah. The first one trips and falls. V'nafa. V'nitakal sheni b'rishon. And the second guy falls over the first guy. V'ashlishi b'sheni. But this over here now turns into slapstick comedy. Now you have a third guy who is walking behind the second guy, and now the second guy tripped and fell over the first guy. The third guy tripped and fell over the second guy. Rishon chayev benizkei sheni, v'sheni chayev benizkei shlishi. So the first person, let's give them names, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, all in a row. Reuven's number one, Shimon's number two, and Levi's number three. Reuven's going to be liable for all the damage that was caused, that he caused to Shimon. Shimon's going to be liable to all the damage that he caused to Levi. V'imachmas rishon aflo rishon chayev benizkei kulam. However, if Levi and anyone behind Levi were to trip over Reuven, so then Reuven would have to bear the burden of responsibility / liability for any damage that he caused. Stay tuned. We're going to discuss later. We're going to try to visualize that later. The im hizirzed zepiturim. Now, if warning was issued, so that will exempt the person who issued the warning.
Is this person?
Wait, it's too early. Too early to ask. The Gemara itself is not clear yet what's going on. So my love shelo haya lahen lamod. So the Gemara says now, presumably, what is going on over here? So isn't it? Can't you argue that they shouldn't have stopped? Meaning, Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that it depends what kind of break you're taking. And for an adjustment, that's fine. If it's to rest, that's no good. So presumably, the liability over here is predicated on the fact that they took an awfully long rest. So the Gemara says, "Lo shahayalam lamor aval." So the Gemara says, "No, really, they stopped for just a moment." On my potter. So the Gemara says, well, if that means then that if they didn't rest, so then they, if they just stopped to adjust, so then they would be exempt. So the Gemara says again, well, if you're right, why does the Mishnah describe the case of exemption moving on to a question of an issue of did you warn or did you not warn? Again, it's basically the same question that Gemara asked previously. In the pause itself, if it's a pause just to adjust, that's legitimate. If it's a pause to rest, that's illegitimate. And why didn't the Braisa create that kind of distinction? So the Gemara says, so again, what the Gemara essentially says is, you're right, but in the what the Braisa wanted to accentuate, and again, the second time we're making the point, is that even if you stopped illegitimately, meaning in a way that's not normal. That's not normal for people to stop in the Rishos Rabim. But if you issue a warning to the person behind you, that indemnifies you. That exempts you from having to pay damages. Amar Rava. Now the Gemara says, okay. So we have defender Rav Nachman Yitzchak, we have defender Rav Yochanan. Where do we stand right now in the question of liability for the guy walking in front? So basically, according to Rav Yochanan, he trips and falls. So if he had ample time to get up and he doesn't get up, so then he's going to be liable. If he didn't have ample time to get up, so then it's an onus and then he's going to be pater. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, even if he didn't have time to get up, but what he should have done is he issued a warning, and by failure to issue a warning, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so then he's going to be liable. Those are your two opinions amongst the Amoraim. And in terms of explaining our Mishnah, obviously each one will explain their Mishnah respectively. And then the only thing we have to finish up for today's daf is just the conclusion of the Braisa. The Braisa that we just learned together had a pile up accident on the road. First guy tripped, fell. Second guy tripped over first guy. Third guy tripped over second guy. And the Braisa had the following ruling. First guy is going to be liable for damages done to the second guy. Second guy is going to be liable for damages done to the third guy. And I glossed over the fact, because I knew the Gemara was coming up, I glossed over the fact, does that make sense?
Isn't it got the second guy on it?
Yeah, so does that make sense? Amar Rava. We're on the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Rishon Dahavale. Sorry, I just skipped. Rishon Chayev Beniske Sheni, Bein Beniske Gufo, Bein Beniske Mamona. Rava says, look, first guy tripped and fell. So now, lying on the floor is A, his body, and B, his kelim. Now, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, and I'm only going to present the Gemara like Rashi right now. Tosos has a lot of issues with Rashi's explanation, but for the sake of brevity and simplicity, I'm just going to present the Gemara like Rashi. So, Reuven's body's on the floor and Reuven's kelim are on the floor. And now Shimon comes and trips. And it doesn't matter whether or not Shimon trips over Reuven's body or Shimon trips over Reuven's kelim. Reuven's going to have to bear the responsibility and the liability. Although, as Rashi points out, it's not exactly the same. Meaning, if Shimon trips over Reuven's body, so that's Nizke Adam, with full liability. If Shimon trips over Reuven's Kalim, what is Reuven's Kalim? Reuven's Kalim is Bor. Now remember, when it comes to Bor, so you're Chayiv only on Behema, and you're Chayiv on Kalim, but you're not Chayiv on... I'm sorry, you're Chayiv on... Right, huh?
I'm the only person.
Right, you're chayv on Adam, but you're not chayv on Kalim. So there will be a difference in terms of whether or not you trip over, if Shimon tripped over Reuven, or Shimon tripped over Reuven's property. But either way, Reuven's going to have liability. with a small distinction between the two. Now, Shini chayv beniske shlishi beniske gufa v'lo beniske mamono. But now let's move on to Levi tripping over Shimon. Levi trips over Shimon. Now, as far as Levi tripping over the body of Shimon is concerned, so for that, there's going to be a liability. Like Shimon, now, let's right now, for our purposes, let's assume that what Shimon is right now is an Adam. We're going to entertain for just a moment that he may actually be considered a boor. And it's going to get interesting. But right now, let's assume that Shimon's an Adam, so you're going to be liable. Shimon's going to be liable for any damages that he causes to Levi. However, if Levi trips over Shimon's property, so then Shimon is not going to be liable. Why not? So the Gemara right now has a hard time understanding that. Mima nashach. The Gemara says, let's try to get this straight. Ini takal poshehu sheni nam lechayev. If tripping and falling is considered negligence, so then just like the first person who tripped and fell is negligent, therefore liable, the second person who tripped and fell, albeit he tripped over the first guy, but hey, you should have looked where you were walking, so the second person tripping over the first guy is also negligent/liable. And so the Gemara says, so if tripping and falling is negligence, so then there should be liability for person one and person number two. And Now, and if you're of the opinion that tripping and falling is an accident, so that should exempt the second guy, but that should also exempt the first guy as well. So the Gemara says, so how did you understand all this? So the Gemara explains like this. We're now on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Rishon Vade Posheh. Look, let's say that the first one is a posheh, meaning, let's say tripping and falling is considered negligence, and therefore he's going to be liable. So Vade Poshehu. So Sheni Agufa Mechayev Dehavalei Lamod Velo Amad. Now, as far as himself and his body being liable for this second person, so he had time to get up. He didn't get up. We're going to explain the Gemara like right now, like Rav Yochanan. He didn't get up, and therefore that's going to present a liability. Rishon Vade Poshehu. Period. Sheni. Okay. Sorry. This is now the second person relating to the third person. Agufa mechayv dahav elam avlo amad. Look, as far as his body is concerned, this is now 2 to 3. Shimon to Levi. He had time to get up. He didn't get up. Therefore, when Levi trips over Shimon's body, Shimon is going to be liable for the damages. However, the dahav elam avlo amad. Amamono pato da amarle haibira lav ana karise. However, Shimon can make the following declaration to Levi. It's not really a declaration, it's a halachic rule, but just said as a narrative. And that is, Shimon will say to Levi, look, I tripped and fell over Reuven, and I know I had time to get up and I should have gotten up and I didn't, and so therefore I'm liable if you damage yourself on my body. But if you damage yourself on my kelim, you see, my kelim are right now a boar. In other words, halachically, status-wise, my kelim are a boar. But you see, I didn't expect to trip and fall, meaning I tripped only because of the first guy. So really the truth of the matter is that my kelim, which are now on the status of boar, are only accredited to me, are only ascribed to me because of the accident that occurred. But you see, once I tripped and fell, so I was mafkir them. And according to some opinions that we saw earlier, so that will remove you from liability. Not if you place them in the Rishos Rabim, but if you tripped and fell and they accidentally fell in the Rishos Rabim, and you were mafkir them, so then that will release you, according to some opinions, will release you from liability. And this is what Shimon is saying to Levi.
Why are we going to route of mafkir and not route of onus? Because of onus that they broke.
Yeah, but if it's still yours though, you're going to have liability for your mama. That's your mama doing damage.
It's mafkir. It immediately says I'm mafkir.
I guess so. I know it sounds strange, but. Yeah, but by Reuven, Reuven can make the same argument to Shimon if he was mafkirid, right? Which makes his first pshat difficult. Listen, I'm just presenting it like Rashi, but yes, you're right. Then that's difficult to understand. Now the Gemara says Meisve Kulan Chayavan on this case Gufan a Paterna on this case Mamono. The Gemara says, okay, but you know I have a brace on this case, so on this pile up, on the three person pile up. So the Braisa says they're all going to be liable for Nizke Haguf, and they're all going to be exempt for Nizke Mamun. So the Gemara says, my love, Afila Risha. Now it says all of them, so that seemingly would include the first guy as well. And the way Rav is explaining it right now, the first guy is going to be liable for any damage caused by his body or any damage caused by his money. And so this Braisa is not going to fit very well. So the Gemara says, lo labarmi rishon. Well, when you read the Braisa, even though the Braisa says the word kulan, it means everyone but the first guy. But the Gemara says, okay, but that's really difficult. That's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa says all of them. So Amrav Ada Ba'ava Kavan, I'm sorry, Kulan Hanizakin. Anyone who was subsequently damaged. That's what the Braisa means by Kulan. Okay, now Haimai. The Gemara says, okay, again, it seems to be Dochik, seems to be a forced pshat. Iamar Bishlam Afila Rishon Hainu Diktani Kulan. Look, if Kulan meant everybody, then I understand the word Kulan because that's what it means. But Ela Iamar. But if you're telling me excluding the first guy, my kulan listening hanizakin. If it meant everyone but the first guy, so then it should have said hanizakin, and that would have been very clearly articulated. articulating number two and number three, the people who got damaged. Ela Amarava. So now the Gemara is going to give now a second shot. And again, I'm presenting it like Rashi. And that is Rishon Chai Bein Beniske Gufon Desheni Bein Beniske Mamono Desheni. Okay, so the so now in the second pshat we're going to say like this. Really, the first guy tripped and fell, and that was negligence on his part. Meaning, let's assume right now the tripping and falling is poshea. That's negligence. And so therefore, he's going to be liable for any damage. Niske Gufo Niske Mamon is not talking about the body and the property of Reuven. Now we're in this new pshat of the Gemara. Niske Gufa Niske Mama means the body and the property of the damaged party, meaning Shimon. So Reuven, because he tripped and fell, and because tripping is negligence, and we're assuming that right now. So therefore, any damage that he and his body has caused to both the body and the property of Shimon is going to be liable. Now, as far as 2 to 3 is concerned, 2 is going to be chayiv to 3 in niske aguf, but not niske mamon. My time da havale bor. Volomatsina bor shechayiv bo esakalim. You see, and this is where it gets interesting, what is the second person? Well, the second person's property is a boar. And again, let's assume that he tripped over the first guy, it fell, he was mafkirit, so therefore his property is going to be, he's not going to be liable for. And now what the Gemara is suggesting, and it is a very strange suggestion, is that Shimon's body that is now on the ground also has the halachic status of being a boar. And so therefore, we know the halacha is that boar you're chayev, but you're only chayev for boar on Adam. You're not going to be chayev on boar for kalim. And that's why Shimon will only be liable for bodily damage occurring to Levi, but not for property damage occurring to Levi. Now, the Gemara says, this suggestion, albeit interesting, is difficult. So, now remember the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. We saw it once before. We're going to say it again now. And that is the following. According to Shmuel, the boar construct can be in a situation where you own it or in a situation where you mafker it. But according to Rav, the construct of boar is only in a situation where you are mafkir the item. If you are not mafkir the item, according to Rav, then it's not boar, it's still mamono, but it's not boar. So now, it comes out that according to Rav, you can only have a construct of boar if it's something where you could be mafkir. You can't be mafkir your own body. And so therefore, for Rav, this explanation is just simply untenable. Because you can't have Shimon presenting his body as a boar, and therefore he'll only be liable for bodily damage to Levi, but not for property damage for Levi. So la'olam kedamar mikara. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to reroute back to the first answer that was given by Rava. Now again, the first answer given by Rava, we're going to say that tripping and falling is not negligence, it's a accident. Udikashlach kulan chayavan. Now, the sticking point on the first shot is, it says kulan chayavan, that everybody is liable. So the Gemara says, now not, it's not true. Not everybody is liable. So the Gemara says, Tir Gemara Ravada, Braminyu, Mekama Deravina, Sheuzku Kalim Bekalim. So the way to describe it is, Kalim got damaged by Kalim. On that, there's going to be full liability. Meaning on the people themselves, there's going to be distinctions between the first guy to the second guy to the third guy. But in terms of Kalim, everything is on the same playing field. Just finishing up to the Mishnah, Amar Mar. Imachmas Rishon Naflu Rishon Chayev Beniske Kulam Machmas Rishon. Now, in our pileup, we said in the Braisa that if Shimon and Levi both trip over Reuven, so then Reuven's going to have full liability for the damage done to Shimon and Levi. And the Gemara's question over here is, just can you help us visualize that? Hechi nafal, Rapapa Amar, de Pascal Orche, Kishalda, and Razvid Amar, Kechutra de Samyusa. So the Gemara gives two different visualizations for basically the same basic idea. When Shimon when Shimon crash landed on the in the Rishus HaRabim, so he basically took a turn, a perpendicular turn, so that his entire body and all of his possessions are now covering the entire street. So therefore, Levi trips over Shimon. Shimon trips over Reuven. Levi trips over Reuven. So basically, I mean, the again here, a picture would be worth more than 1,000 words. Basically, the Gemara gives different different visualizations of how to describe how Reuven fell, and Shimon and Levi both tripped over Reuven. Okay, let's just quickly recap. Okay, we finished up our discussion today about when the Chachamim are kones the Shavach, and they're kones the Guf as well. That's true with the compost. And the Gemara tried to line it up with the Machlokas regarding Ribbis. Of the Chachamim and Rameir, the Gemara deflected. The Gemara suggested that the Machlokas between Rav and Ziri is also Machlokas Tanayim. That may in fact work. For sure, according to Ziri, it's a Machlokas amongst... it's certainly a machlokas amongst Tanaim. Maybe for Rav it is. Okay, and the halacha is that if somebody leaves a hazard in the Rishus HaRabim, so the kenas is going both on the guf and on the shavach. And then the only question the Gemara left unresolved is halacha morin kein vein morin kein. Is this something which should be broadcast or not broadcast? The Gemara leaves that that issue unresolved. Rav Ada Ba'ava would broadcast the halacha. Then we saw the Mishnah of the pile up. Reuven falls. Shimon falls over. Ships over Reuven, and Reuven's going to be liable for the damage caused to Shimon. So either right here now, right, it kind of spreads out. Here you can either say that the falling itself is a pshia, is a negligence. Although Rav Yochanan, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says not necessarily. You could say that the tripping and falling in of itself was an ones, but according to Rav Yochanan, he had time to get up and he did not. That creates a liability. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he should have warned and he didn't warn. That creates a liability. And then what we did for the rest of the day is see which position fits in better in the brisos. And then we finished up today describing the three pile, three people accident. And then just a question of whether or not Reuven's liability to Shimon is going to be equatable to Shimon's liability to Levi, and it's a complexity in terms of trying to figure out how to identify and categorize each one of the people who fell.